إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن سار على نهجه ومن استنى بسنته إلى يوم الدين أما بعد فاتقوا الله أيها الأحباب فقد أمرنا سبحانه وتعالى في تنزيله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون ثم أما بعد. My brothers and sisters, the verses that I'd like to share with you today are some of the most important verses in the Qur'an, but at the same time, verses that are not taught properly. They haven't been discussed properly in a relative manner that students of the Qur'an in this day and age can understand in a practical and relative manner. You have all heard the verses in the Qur'an in Surah An-Nur, in where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُضُّوا مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ وَيَحْفَظُوا فُرُوجَهُمْ. This is verse number 30. And verse number 31 starts off the same way, but it addresses the women. وَقُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنَاتِ يَغْضُضْنَ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِنَّ وَيَحْفَظْنَ فُرُوجَهُنَّ. These two verses have one subject attached to them, and that is controlling your eyes, controlling the gaze. Normally when khatibs use these verses, they stand up and they say to you, you need to control your eyes, you cannot stare at women, the women you can't stare at the men. But it's very difficult to swallow and understand how do you do that if your co-worker is the opposite gender. If you're sitting in a classroom and your professor is a lady. If you walk into the elevator or you're sitting on the TTC and somebody of the opposite gender comes and sits right beside you or comes in the elevator and you're alone with that person, it's tough to understand how does the Qur'an address these simple issues that are really big problems in our everyday, day-to-day lives. So what I'd like to do is give you a perspective and an understanding of what these verses are really trying to teach us. I think bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, these verses will change your life. They will change your life. And the first thing you need to understand is the context of these verses. They actually don't have anything to do with sexual desires. That's how they're used, but then the context of it wasn't revealed in that circumstance. To understand why Allah said this, you need to reverse and go back earlier on in Surah An-Nur. Allah Azza wa Jalla said, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَدْخُلُوا بُيُوتًا غَيْرَ بُيُوتِكُمْ حَتَّى تَسْتَأْنِسُوا وَتُسَلِّمُوا عَلَىٰ أَهْلِهَا. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, O you people of Iman, don't enter someone's home unless you do two things. Number one, you get permission to enter that house. Even if it's your own house. Even if it's your own house, let's say the sisters are all there, your wife and your daughters, they're having a sister gathering, but you, the father, want to come home. You don't get to enter that house without getting permission. Because you may see something you're not supposed to see. So you seek permission. Then once you get permission, the second thing you do is you say, Assalamu alaikum. وَتُسَلِّمُوا عَلَىٰ أَهْلِيَا. Say salam to the people in that home. And even if the home is empty, you still say assalamu alaikum because there are angels dwelling and sitting in your home. And our Prophet ﷺ told us that the angels will respond to your salam. Then Allah Azza wa Jal told you, now for the brothers, I'm going to speak to you first. Because verse 30, or the first verse I want to address, is talking to you. You're the audience. Allah said, you, believing men. He tells His Prophet ﷺ, now I want you to say, tell these believing men to lower their gaze. Now, here's the problem. What's the connection? You walk into somebody's house, then Allah tells you to lower your gaze? Think about it. These are the mannerisms with respect to social ethics in Islam. How you behave in a society, in a community. When you go to somebody's house as a guest, what you have to do, part of your manners when you're in someone else's home, is you focus on the host. You don't become the haram police, which a lot of cultures do. A lot of cultures, when they go to people's home, they look at the frames on their wall, they look at the curtains, they look around and they start becoming like a haram police. Is that halal? I didn't know you were allowed to hang pictures in your house. Why are you doing that? You don't get to do this. And in addition to that, Allah tells you to lower your gaze because you might look in the kitchen and his wife isn't covered properly, so you may see something you're not supposed to see. Allah says, lower your gaze. Focus on your host. See the connection of the ayah? But one of the benefits you get out of the ayah is you're able to apply it in any other gathering with the opposite gender. Now listen to how Allah started the discussion. SubhanAllah, it is absolutely incredible. Allah speaks to His Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and He says to him, you go and tell the believing men. Why didn't Allah just say, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu? He said, قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Say to these believing men. Why? Because this is the way that Qur'an is indirectly teaching you to appreciate the teachings and the legacy of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Listen to him and what he has to say, because what he says, it comes from me anyway. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is told to go and tell the believing men, his sahabas, O people of Iman. Do you notice it doesn't say قُلْ لِلْمُسْلِمِينَ? It says mu'mineen. That tells you that the audience is not just any group of men. These are men of iman. And then Allah gives His amr, His command. يَغُضُّ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ وَيَحْفَظُ فُرُوجَهُمْ. Tell these believing men to lower their gaze and protect the privates. Now you need to understand this ayah step by step so you understand how to implement it. Allah Azza wa Jal is saying to you, when you're in front of the opposite gender, lower your gaze. But how do you do that? Do you ever find that some men, when they're talking to a sister, they're looking at an opposite direction and she's there? Then others, they look down on the floor. Others, they actually have a curtain or they talk to them behind a door. We do different things. Then there are others who just are very carefree. They address the sister closely and they joke with her and they socialize with her. So we do different things. So what does the Sharia or the Quran tell you to do? Allah Azza wa Jal says, يَغُضُّ. يَغُضُّ comes from the word غَضٌّ. غَضٌّ means to make something very weak. It's التخفيف الشيء. Make something weak. غَضٌّ also means to turn towards a different direction. So when you're talking to the opposite gender, so brothers, when you're talking to a sister or a strange woman, the first rule of thumb you need to understand is that Allah didn't say, don't look. He didn't say, don't look at her. He said that when you look at her, weaken your look. Weaken the gaze. What that means is don't get caught up staring at her and assessing her, and you're not paying attention to the conversation. If she comes to you to ask a question, if she needs your help, if she's your co-worker, stick to the business. Stick to what the issue is. Don't get into that bubble of socializing, because that's when you get yourself into problems. So Allah gives you ethics of how to follow. Now, if you go to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, did he ever talk to women? All the time. As a matter of fact, he had private classes just teaching sisters alone. A woman once came up to him and said, Ya Rasulullah, you're always spending time with the men. When are you going to spend time with us and answer our questions? You know what the Prophet ﷺ said to this woman? Okay, fine, I'll give you a day. He didn't say to her, no, that's not good. That's haram. You all need mahrams. He didn't do any of that. He just said to her, okay, fine. And he allocated one day of the week where he only addressed the women on all of their issues. Even deeper than that, a woman came to him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, Ya Rasulullah, kayfa atatahari? She said to him, how do I purify myself after menstruation? Such a private question to ask a man face to face. But she comes to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is the Prophet of Allah, and she asks him this private, intimate question. And you know what he says to her? He doesn't say, how dare you ask me that? He doesn't say, that's personal, like, don't you have any shame? You know what he says to her? He actually gives her the answer. You do A, B, and C. The woman didn't understand, so she asked, she probed even further. She said, no, Ya Rasulullah, kayf, tell me exactly how. So the Prophet ﷺ repeated it a second time. She still didn't get it. The third time she asks, tell me exactly what do I have to do? That's when the Prophet ﷺ knows what his limit is, and he knows that this woman needs a more detailed and deeper explanation, so he refers her to his wife Aisha radiallahu anha, and he says, look, go and ask her and she will explain to you step by step how to purify yourself. It's really simple. You have to understand, when you're talking to the opposite gender, if it's business related, or if you're just simply socializing. And if you're socializing, still the standard of what is categorized as socializing is different in every culture. Let me give you an example. If I go up to a sister right now and I say assalamu alaikum to her, she responds. Then I ask her, how are you? She says, fine, alhamdulillah. And then I ask her, how's your family? She tells me about her family. All of this is considered to be standard in the way we socialize with one another. But if I was in Saudi Arabia, in Medina, and I asked an Arab woman, salamu alaikum, I'd be lucky if she responded. And if she does respond, and then I probe further and I say, kayfa haluki, how are you? I might be in a lot of trouble. Because socially, that's not acceptable there. So what this is teaching you is, because this is not defined in the Sharia specifically and explicitly, it's different. So you have to know when you're talking to somebody, if you cross over the boundary lines, what those boundary lines are. And Allah gives you a principle and guideline of how to do that. When you're talking to her, غُضُّوا أَبْصَارَكُمْ, weaken your stare and your look. Now you're probably wondering, why even this topic to begin with? Brothers and sisters, quite honestly, if you control what you look at, you will control what you do. You will have control over your actions. Everything starts off with your eyes. And then Allah Azza wa Jal tells you, مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ, from the absar. Absar from the word basara, or what many of you know as basir. Allah says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ السَّمِيعٌ بَصِيرٌ. Indeed, Allah is the one that sees everything and hears everything. Basara, basir, literally means to have a complete view of something. Allah has a complete view of everything. Allah is telling you, when you're talking to a woman, restrict your eyes from having a complete view of her. And even for the sisters, it's the same thing. Don't assess him from head to toe. What kind of shoelace is he wearing? What kind of pants? You know, if it's dirty, you don't have the right, don't do any of that. Stick to what the situation is and what the question is about. Stick to the subject. That's what Allah is saying for you to do. So from a complete view, limit your look and address the problem. Then Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَيَحْفَظُوا فُرُوجَهُمْ سُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ. Then protect the privates. That's a huge leap. We just finished talking about the eyes. And then the ayah jumped to the privates. A lot of things have to happen in between. That's not how, generally speaking, how a guy builds a relationship with a girl. He doesn't just look at her and then, وَالْعَيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ, may Allah protect us from this. He doesn't just fall into zina immediately. A lot of things have to happen. He has to build a relationship with her. So those little things in between, In Arabic, we call it sun'a. Sun'a literally means to manufacture something from the ground up. Think about how a guy wants to develop a relationship with a girl. Think about what he does. The first thing he starts off with is he talks to her. He says, as-salam. Then from the salam, he'll try to build up a conversation. Hey, didn't I see you at that convention the other day? You're the same person, right? Then he goes somewhere, he probes further. He asks them, who's your family? Where are you from? How come I keep seeing you in this community? Do you live close by? And it gets closer and closer, and shaitan gets stronger and stronger. Then they exchange numbers. Then they go to emails. Then they meet each other. Then they're alone. And then you know what happens. If it's not under control, where their ultimate destination is. All of these things in between is called sunnah. Remember that word, because listen to what happens next. Allah tells you, for you brothers, why it's so important to control your eyes. Allah says, ذَلِكَ أَزْكَى لَهُمْ. That's purer for them. This is a way you get to purify your heart and your soul. Brothers, if you control what you look at, you will focus better in your life, you will achieve your goals, you will study better, you will be able to pray and focus, your khushu' will rise. Everything about your life you will have control simply because you controlled what you look at. ذَلِكَ أَزْكَى لَهُمْ. This is purer for them. Now I told you, to manufacture something is called sun'a. When you see construction happening in Arabic, we call it sana'a. How did the ayah end? Inna Allah khabirun. Allah is fully well aware, bima yasna'un, of what you manufacture. Some brothers, when they go to a conference, and the speaker is in front of them, and the sisters are on that side. His body is in front of the speakers, but his eyes is over there. Some brothers, they do this. Allah says, I know exactly what you're doing. I know the little things that you're trying to build in between. And Allah focuses on us. We're the ones that do this. That sometimes if we're careless with our iman, we manipulate that girl. We make her feel like she's the only girl in this world. Now parents, you need to understand this, because sometimes your own sons and daughters are doing this. They're really clever in high school and in college, and maybe even in late middle school they're doing this. You give your child a cell phone and you have no idea who he or she is talking to. But at the dinner table, they're still typing away. 9 out of 10 times, they're just locked up in the room. Your only conversation with them is, come and take out the garbage. Come and eat. Go clean up your room. Go do your homework. And that's it. If you don't know who your children are talking to, I can guarantee you they're talking to somebody else that's saying to them, who cares what your parents think? It's okay, you can talk to her. You guys can be boyfriends and girlfriends, it's all good. So you have to stay in tune of the privileges that you give your children and how it's abused. Allah says, I know exactly what they're up to. The ayah began with mu'min. So if you have this problem with yourself, or you have this problem with your children, and you take them to the shuyukh and you say, Shuyukh, advise my kid. You know, he comes from a good home, he memorized Quran, but he likes girls. He wants to have a girlfriend, advise him. And we do that. But then you go back home, there's no salah in the house, there's no Quran time in the house, there's no discipline, there's no guidance, there's no rules, there's no tarbiyah. Don't expect us, we can't solve those problems. What this is telling you is if you can't control your eyes, it's an iman problem. It's not a desire problem. You have weak iman. Your child is suffering from weak faith. You have to work on their heart and on their faith with Allah so they understand what it means when you say to them, Allah is watching you. Allah is al-basir. Allah is al-sami'. He hears everything you're doing, everything you're saying. You see, kids don't know how to internalize these attributes of Allah Azza wa Jal. You, the parents, have to teach them this. But you can't forget yourself. You can't be puffing a cigarette and then telling your child, don't do this stuff. You can't be engaging and socializing with random women and expect that your child won't end up doing the same. I always say, you can't allow your child to go to all of the high school dances and expect that they won't want to go to the prom. And you say, no, you're not going to the prom. Look what you put them through. Look how many years. You didn't give them the tarbiyah that they needed so that they could preserve it. Now all broken things are fixable. You can repair it. So if this is an indication that faith is weak in the home, brothers and sisters, you can fix this. You can repair this. You can go back home and start thinking about what is iman like in your house. And if it's anything similar to that in the masjid. And now we move forward. That's the message that Allah gives to you and I as brothers. Sisters, verse 31 is yours. Allah Azza wa Jal gives you the same message. وَقُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنَاتِ Say to the believing women, يَغْضُدْنَ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِنْ وَيَحْفَظْنَ فُرُوجَهُنْ Tell them to lower their gaze and to control the privates. But then Allah did something very different. He said to the women, وَلَا يُبْدِينَ زِينَتَهُنْ إِلَّا مَا ظَهْرَ مِنْهَا وَلْيَضْرِبْنَ بِخُمْرِهِنْ عَلَى جُيُوبِهِنْ وَلَا يُبْدِينَ زِينَتَهُنْ إِلَّا لِبُعُولَتِهِنَّ أو آبائهن الآية. It's a very long ayah. Allah said to the women, and don't flaunt your beauty except that which is obvious. Let me repeat this again. Don't flaunt or expose your beauty except that which is obvious. Now understand the ayah. First thing, Allah says, don't flaunt your beauty. This is where hijab starts to play a major role. Because Allah already attributed to the woman that a woman is beautiful. Zinatahun, zina. The beauty that Allah created her with, He's saying to her, don't go and flaunt this to people. And if you think that your hijab is a garment of beauty, you're missing the point of what hijab is. You ever see sometimes on YouTube, there's these hijab tutorials? There's a hijab for when you're driving. There's a hijab style for when you're walking. There's a hijab style for the wedding, for the reception, when you're on the subway, when you're doing this. There's a hijab style for every circumstance of the day. You're missing the point. The hijab is not a garment of beautification. It's a garment of humility. It's supposed to make you feel humble in front of Allah. Because Allah made you so beautiful, He told you, I need you to cover up when you go outside. There are only 9 categories of people you're allowed to take your hijab off in front of. It's also mentioned in verse 31. But it's a separate discussion. Then Allah said, إِلَّا مَا ظَهَرَ مِنْهَا There's an exception. Except that which is obvious. So there's an element of beauty for a woman that is an obvious beauty she can't do anything about. She can't cover it up. You ever see some women, they'll just... And the sisters, they know this. They put on their hijab. They have no makeup, nothing. And still a brother might look at her and see beauty in her. She might think, oh my God, I didn't dress up, I didn't do anything. But still there are some that find her beautiful. This is telling you that there's an obvious beauty in her. She can't stop, she can't control, she can't cover up. She's not accountable in front of Allah for that. The least she has to do is, وَلْيَضْرِبْنَ بِخُمُرِهِنْ عَلَى جُيُوبِهِنْ This last portion of the ayah is what I'm going to conclude with in the second part of the khutbah. My brothers and sisters, may Allah Azza wa Jal bless us with fiqh. Bless us with understanding of His book and the teachings of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. أقول ما تسمعون وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين من كل ذنب فاستغفروا إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. بسم الله الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه أما بعد وليضربنا يضربنا comes from the verb ضرب ضرب one of its meanings is something that moves like this constantly back and forth. It's always moving. What does that have to do with a woman's hijab? Sisters, don't you ever find that some of you, when you put on your hijab in your house, by the time you get to your car, you have to fix it again? Then when you get to the venue, you got to go to the washroom and fix it again? Then every 5 minutes it keeps getting loose, the pin falls out, your hair sticks out. All of this because you're constantly battling with your hijab. You think it's annoying, Allah called it worship. Subhanallah. You're in the state of ibadah when you're struggling with that garment. Many non-Muslims, but some modernist Muslims, they say to you, there is no command in the Quran for hijab. There is no command. And you know something? They're absolutely right. There isn't a single ayah in the Quran that says a woman has to wear hijab. Because hijab in the Quran doesn't mean a headscarf, it means a curtain. The command for the woman to cover her head, the word that is used is khimar. وَلْيَضْرِبْنَ بِخُمُرْ خُمُرْ plural for khimar. What is this telling you? Allah is talking to the Prophet ﷺ and He's saying, tell those women to take their khimars, meaning a head cover. Now back in the days before this ayah was given, the women were covering their head, but they used to have a ponytail where the garment would fall at the back. So this ayah came down and told them to take that garment now and let it fall. عَلَى جُيُوبِهِن جُيُوبِهِن جَيْبٌ. It's the chest cavity for obvious reasons. For obvious reasons. Now she's going to take that garment and cover the front. Do you notice something already? Allah Azza wa Jal told the Prophet ﷺ, tell them to take their khimars. He didn't say, take a khimar and give it to them. What does that tell you that the women were already doing before this ayah? They were already covering their heads. Just change the style. So khimar, it's the head covering. And Allah Azza wa Jal says, now let it fall in the front. Now this is important. This is important. Because again Allah repeats Himself, and don't expose or flaunt your beauty except to your bu'ula. Bu'ulatihinna is one of the terms in Quran for a husband. A husband is also called ba'lun. Ba'lun literally refers to a tree that is not dependent on nourishment. Like it only gets water maybe once or twice a year. So think about like an evergreen tree. Just once in a while, you don't actually have to sit there and water an evergreen tree. It survives throughout the year. So a husband is given the same term because when he needs nourishment, whenever he does, he goes to his wife. He doesn't go to anyone else. And his wife is always there to give the beauty that he looks for. So that way, his eyes is fixated on her and no one else. All of this, if you put it together, and I summarize and I conclude, brothers and sisters. There is a massive bankruptcy with the eyes in all Muslim communities around the world. Don't think this is only a Toronto problem or a Western problem. This is a problem throughout the world. And I always focus on the little things. People always say, why are you talking about the eyes? We've got Islamophobia going on. We've got this problem. We've got these world issues. We've got this country in turmoil. We've got the refugees going this way. Like, why are you talking about eyes for? This is the problem. When you start trivializing sins, that in and of itself is a major sin. When you start taking the little things for granted, that attitude in and of itself is a major sin in the sight of Allah. The Prophet ﷺ told us, إِنَّمَا بُعِثْتُ لِأُتَمِّمْ مَكَارِمَ الْأَخْلَاقِ. I was sent down to complete beautiful manners. We have to be good people with ourselves and our families before we can be good to people around us. We have to be strong, practicing families before we can build strong practicing communities. And so brothers and sisters, this is only an insight. Food for thought. Go back to your homes. Go back to your families. And study the eyes. What are they looking at? What are they focused on? Have they been so accustomed to seeing something that Allah said, don't stare at it? Have you become so accustomed to it? And ask Allah to purify you. Ask Allah to strengthen your hijab and protect it with you. And bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, with that, Allah will preserve and protect your iman. May Allah Azza wa Jal protect our iman. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase us in our knowledge of His book and the knowledge of the sunnah of our Prophet and our Messenger salawatu rabbi wa salamuhu alayhi. And I conclude and send peace and blessings to our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kama amarana subhanahu wa ta'ala fi tanzili inna allaha wa malaikatahu yusalluna ala nabi ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka hamidun majid. Allahumma اغفر المسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات الأحياء منهم والأموات إنك قريب سميع مجيب الدعوات. اللهم إننا نسألك الجنة وما قرب إليها من قول أو عمل ونعوذ بك من النار وما قرب إليها من قول أو عمل. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. Thank you.